Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is the mobile studio for Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline, the birthday line, is open at 1-800-795-9565. 29th birthday.
My what birthday?
The 12th anniversary of your 29th birthday.
The 12th anniversary. Nice. Very nice.
I mean, you don't think I don't have connections, do you?
I'm actually surprised.
Find out what's going on.
I'm actually surprised that you knew that. I mean, I know how many times you go on Facebook in a day, so I figured I was safe that way. All right, make it a month.
Or a year. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Jump in. Join us. Ryan Lochte, failure. That's what it comes down to. I mean, really. He's going to live off one race forever. He's a bum. No? You're not buying?
I think he went a little bit. I think he bit off more than he could chew. I think he's realizing now how much of an early program he chose and how much it's really costing him now, as you see him in the last couple of races losing late.
Kevin, hold on. You were the person 3 weeks ago that was almost on the verge of weeping because Michael Phelps pulled out of a race because of his schedule, because he couldn't go for 8 medals again, when a guy was trying to be smart about what the schedule is.
No. I was sad because I wanted to. I'm just sad because I wanted him to win another medal. And you know what? I think more of his issue is age.
He's won 7.8 million medals in his career. I mean, how many more do you want him to win? come on. I mean, after a while, Missy Franklin, first gold.
She's the one to watch. She's done it. She's going to be one to watch.
So, well done. She wins a gold medal today. Missy Franklin, this is what NBC needed. Yeah, I mean, they needed to have a breakout star in the Olympics. They lost Jordan Weaver because it's more important for Senegal to have two gymnasts in the all-around final than to have the best in the world in the final. So they don't have her in the all-around because some bureaucrat thinks that everybody should get a participant ribbon. All right? Then they don't have Phelps, who so far has a silver medal at this point. And of course, after your massive disappointment that he couldn't go for it, how many medals he have? 50, 60, 17?
He's got quite a few, okay?
I mean, Natalie Coughlin has 12. She didn't even swim the final. She ran a prelim, got a bronze. Hey, I mean, I like that system. Don't have to exert yourself when they're handing you stuff. That's great. So they lost that. Lochte didn't win today. They lost that. The men's gymnastics team finished fifth, so they lost that. And now the golden girl in the pool comes up big. All right? In the end, I mean, I know, Kevin, in the end, you'll just blame the economy for all this.
I will. Listen, here's what's going to happen, because the way things are going right now for NBC.
This is what NBC has dealt. Right, but NBC, this is the hand they've been dealt so far. So far, the highlights for NBC so far have been, okay, Lochte wins gold medal. This is before Missy Franklin won today. Lochte wins gold medal, all right? The next highlight they had, I think, was Daniel Craig and the Queen jumping out of a helicopter. That's about it. Those have been the highlights so far. Everything else, Weaver, because of lunacy, in which the 30th ranked gymnast in the world gets to participate, as opposed to the person who finished fourth. So that's gone. The men finished fifth. Lochte has not won since he got his original gold medal. Phelps is got you in tears right now, lighting candles in a church. And now Missy Franklin steps up big. So now, finally, they are hugging each other in the broadcast center in London.
Well, listen, for a while, the broadcast center in London was thinking, do we have film of the judo win, the bronze medal in judo? Because we may need to use that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So they picked up gold today at Missy Franklin. Graves was able to win today in the men's backstroke, I believe. So they have that to show. And I'm sure at the velodrome there was some warm-up that was exciting.
The velodrome?
Right.
What is the velodrome?
That's where sprint bicycling takes place.
Kieran?
I mean, sprint bicycling.
Are you referring to Kieran?
Do the sprint? I don't know what I'm referring to. These people come up once every 4 years. I don't know. I mean, I'm just glad the girl won here. It gives them something. It gives everybody something to be proud of and to talk about.
Indoor cycling actually is rather entertaining to watch, too, because there's a lot of bumping that goes on in that. There's a lot of physicality in that.
It's the same thing as watching Ono in the speed skating thing. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, they go around. It's kind of nutty.
That's a great look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. There's a lot of crashes, which really, you know, I mean, and Americans thrive on that. I mean, how many times have we seen now in just the bike race of those people going down into the ravine? I mean, we've seen that more than we saw the person at the finish line. you have to understand how Americans work, okay? Yachting, all right? Arm the boats. Now Americans are interested, all right? You have to understand how we think. Arm the boats. Put them out in the bay. Let them duel it out. And I'm telling you right now, ratings soar.
You know, what in your mind is the most boring Olympic sport?
What's the most boring Olympic sport? Oh, boy. Most boring Olympic sport. I hate to say it because I think it's a great sport. I think the Olympics definitely has to have it, but the marathon.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That because it's so long and drawn out. Cycling is just a little bit above that.
Right. It's 2 hours. I mean, anything that's of distance. And the other thing is when the really, like the 20,000 meters, you know, when you're and they're on lap 74, you're like, oh, my goodness, you know. Now, that you should DVR and go, okay, let's get to the last lap. Let's see where we're going here.
You know, that also made the opening ceremonies really quick, was DVRing it too.
Right. But, I mean, and when I say boring, the Olympics should have the marathon in it. It is a staple of the Olympics to have marathon. Now, the winner, though, is going to run the marathon probably, I'm going to guess, anywhere between 208 and 212, somewhere in that neighborhood, depending on conditions. Like, I'm trying to remember what London marathons have been over the years. But, like, for example, in Boston, you can run Boston here from Hopkinton to Copley Square at about 207, 208. Usually New York's in that 209, 210 range. Well, Chicago's had some good times, like 207, 208. I know you're shocked that but that's how it goes. It's just the length of it and how long it takes to get there. When they enter into the stadium, it's exciting. But it's usually the last 2-3 miles where your interest really gets going in the race. I think up to that point, but it's something that I think it's important for the Olympics to have, men's and women's marathon. I just find it to be. And the long distance races that you have when they're going around the track repeatedly, 10,000 meters, things like that.
I find the walk race really entertaining to watch because there's so many rules to that, and it is so borderline walking that it's almost like a jog.
No, I mean, oh, Oh yeah, they're almost running, and I understand that. But that's the same thing too, though. The problem with that is the length, the time it takes, because some of the walking races have some length to them, and to watch that the entire time, I think would be difficult. But I mean, other things. Jamie Bestwick, and you weren't on the show last week. I had Jamie Bestwick on the show, and Jamie Bestwick, who just won an X Games gold in Los Angeles, and as a commentator for NBC's Olympics, said that the Olympics need to make a transition, as he said on the show with us last week, to sports that younger people really like. It's great to have the traditional sports, but they need to have more sports in there. And the Winter Olympics have done that. The Winter Olympics have put in half pipes, snowboards, moguls, things like that. They have changed a lot of sports and added more sports in the Winter Olympics that are more exciting to watch and have a lot of action and tricks to them, a little element of danger to them, and so forth. And he says the Summer Olympics need to do more of that. I think it's a shame it's a shame that it's taken so long. You have tennis in there already, but there are other sports that you can add along the way that are all on that, you know, and I'm not a big fan of action, right? And some of the X Games stuff that they do are things that they should add to the Olympic Games.
Well, just, you know, BMX
think,
wouldn't,
you know, it get
BMX wouldn't be the worst thing to add to the Olympic Games, and I think there's more room, though, to add these type of events to the Winter Games than the Summer Games, and that's mainly because there are so many events already in the Winter Games. I believe there's 26 separate events, and that's not counting how many of them are combined together. Like, the entire swim meet is one event. So there's 26 events, almost 40 different individual medals are given out, sets of medals are given out. And I think that's the problem with the Summer Games. They've expanded themselves too far, and now they have to contract a little bit.
Contract? Look, I am not an X Games person. I don't watch the X Games. But I'm also 54 years old. All right? But the X Games bring it to the excitement, skill, there's judging. The young people love it, whether it's skateboard or whether it's BMX bike, something. Need to transition some of those sports in, because for the Olympic movement to keep going, all right, speed walking, which is a grueling event. And speed walking is grueling. The way they do it, if you try to do it, I mean, people are passing out left and right. It takes a lot to speed walk, right? But in terms of excitement of people getting drawn to watching it every 4 years, you'll watch it in passing, figure out who won and so forth, even though it takes tremendous skill and endurance to do it. But if you want to draw eyeballs to the TV set, and again, I'm 54, okay? So I am never been a person that watched the X Games. But you have to be smart enough to know what young people like. I have children they like. We talk all the time. They're big sports fans, right? Big sports fans. And I know what they like. And you have to draw them into the Olympics where it's not just the gymnastics and the swimming pool. You know, this is still an Olympic Games where you have judo and still have archery and pentathlon and still has dressage and equestrian and everything else, you know, things like that, all right, which is fine. But I don't think it hurts to then add in some action as well, because young people like action and like competitive action. And there are a lot of participants in this country in X Games, and the Winter X Games sports that have been brought into the Winter Olympics have changed the dynamics and excitement of the Winter Olympics in a more than they were before, because it has brought a younger crowd watching and a level of excitement. And older people, I would put myself in that category, like the fact that when the United States does well in it, they'll watch. I'll watch Shaun White. I'll watch Shaun White when he's out there, half pipe, whatever he happens to be doing at the particular time. I'll watch the moguls if the United States is doing well in it. I mean, and that to me is something that the Summer Games needs to think about. It's not just the number of sports, but if you add four or five things in there like that, it's now the Olympics making the transition into a modern era of sport. Over time, certain sports have been dropped. Unfortunately, softball was one. Why was that dropped? Oh, because the United States is too good in it. That's why it was dropped. All right? I mean, that's how I feel about it. I mean, I know you're into you still have things like Olympic show jumping and things like that, and you know those are great sports. So I'm not saying eliminating any sport. I say the more sports, the merrier, and there's more action sports. And let's take beach volleyball. Beach volleyball has given the Olympics a great boost. People enjoy it, watching two people out there. And let's face it, all right, women's beach volleyball, a lot of people love. I mean, let's not be silly about it. And Jamie's right, and I agree with Jamie completely when we talked about it last week. You weren't there. You were off in Aruba.
Well, you know, beach volleyball was a made-for-sport for television for the most part out in Malibu and in Southern California, and then all of a sudden it just took off. And the Olympics, as you were talking about right there, sat back and said, you know what, this is an opportunity to get a younger demographic involved in watching it, not just playing it.
And that's why X Games sports, I think, are into the next step. I think X Games sports, and look, and I'm not a person, like I said, they don't appeal to me, but every 4 years I could watch it in the Olympics. Okay? Every 4 years I could watch it in the Olympics. And I think it adds a level of excitement, and you need to get more, you need to get young eyeballs on the TV set watching it. And I think that's important. Hey, it's part of growing the Olympic Games. Hey, look at the things over the years that have been dropped because they felt that their time had come and they've moved on. Now, I don't advocate dropping any sport. To me, archery is incredible, a great skill. Judo is a great skill. I watched table tennis for like 60 seconds the other night. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, fine. All right. But still, it's a great sport. No, you're not big on badminton, but it's still there. All right? I'm fine with all that. I'm just saying add like four or five of these sports to juice it up a little bit, the way women's, the way beach volleyball has. It's been terrific. I mean, I think a lot of fans have enjoyed, you know, it's not just the women, Misty May and so forth, but also Karch Karai playing beach volleyball. People have enjoyed it and have embraced it, whether it's men or women. Right? I mean, I don't advocate you, of course, going out playing beach volleyball because, let's face it, the point is to have people drawn to the beach.
Thank you.
Our number is 1-800-795-956. What? It's your birthday. It's the 12th anniversary of your 29th birthday. So far, no calls wishing you a happy birthday. To say I'm massively disappointed. We had a lot of calls last week and you weren't here. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Let it be Solar Hotline. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Don't forget they're located on Market Street in Sunbury. They'll take very good care of you. And the Sunbury Motors Mobile Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll actually be back in the Sunbury Motors Studio tomorrow. How about that? We'll continue with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Kind of wasteful, right? It's time you could have been spending browsing the inventory and services you will always find at sunburymotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them. And you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home. You take out a policy and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back to the show. Our number 1-800-795-9565. And what we have, is it, Ben? I'm sorry.
Bob from Millerstown.
Oh, Bob. Bob in Millerstown. Hi, Bob. Sorry about the mistake there. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, thank you. I'm just wondering, maybe I missed it in your 3 o'clock hour there. Any update on the Penn State, the transfers and so forth?
No, we're still waiting. Silas Wright, of course, talked to Southern California. We're waiting on that. Kevin Hapley has been talking with Florida State. Kyrie Fort with Cal Berkeley. Jameel Pollard with Rutgers. Anthony Fair has been talking to Texas. It looks like Rob Bolden, though, is on the verge of going to LSU. He's no longer on the Penn State roster.
Okay. Now, I understand There's going to be a rally tomorrow as the players arrive.
Tomorrow morning, yeah, 6:15, they're going to be arriving tomorrow. And they were having a rally tomorrow for that. There's if you park by the stadium and walk over to it, that'd probably be your best bet.
Okay. You mean the Bryce Jordan Center parking there?
Bryce Jordan Center or Stadium West, which is right behind the press box, then cross the street, go to Hulubah Hall.
Okay. All right, because I'm planning on being out, but that's still on.
It's still on, Bob, and hope to see you there tomorrow.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This is the Steve Jones Show from the Sunbury Motor Studio on the road. Steve will be joining us here momentarily. Today's program sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Find out more about what Purdy has to offer. Market Street, Sunbury, at purdyinsurance.com. Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And from the mobile Sunbury Motors Studio, Steve Jones.
And Joseph on the Steve Jones Show wall, the most boring event in the Olympics. Talk about a snooze fest. It's like shuffleboard on ice. Curling.
That's the baby
you stay up and watch all the time. That's right.
Curling is awesome.
Curling. I like curling. I'll watch, I can watch 5 minutes of that.
Let's be honest. Curling is the only Olympic sport I ever stand a chance at competing in. So that's probably why I like it.
What, operating the broom?
Probably, yeah.
So that was Joseph on our SteveJonesShow.com wall. Appreciate that. Let's bring that back up. There we go. But Missy Franklin, she is a size 13 feet, wins gold today in the pool. NBC's broadcast for the night saved. Matt Grievers won gold today. Ryan Lochte finished fourth. China wins the men's gymnastics gold medal. You're saying, okay, what about the U.S.? Fifth. Not good. ESPN saying Silas Red leaning toward USC. Okay. Is strongly leaning toward transferring to USC, sources have told ESPN's Joe Shad. I would like to point out, to everybody that ESPN, which, by the way, runs these stories in terms of being able to, in disclosure, we have to remember that ESPN Radio is this year the radio network for USC football. They never seem to mention that.
Don't you find that a little ironic? Sorry.
Oh, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. They think we're all stupid. I mean, we'll find out tomorrow. I mean, Red had a three-hour meeting with Lane Kiffin, and it was a PowerPoint presentation and so forth in his home in Norwalk, Connecticut. Ford is looking at Cal Berkeley. He would be Penn State's fourth linebacker this year. Next would be Anthony Farrah, looking at Texas, but he's from Houston. His sister goes to the University of Texas. Kevin Hapley, who's the fourth tight end, is looking at Florida State at this stage. And I think those are the – Akeel Lynch, the freshman running back, I know a lot of people are concerned about. We haven't heard from him. So that's where we are when it comes to the players as the – as college football's first ever free agency continues. So that's where we are. So they have been pushing the red thing very hard. But again, ESPN Radio happens to be the flagship home of USC football. Okay? Just so people know. So we wait. We'll see what Silas wants to do. I mean, we'll see what he wants to do.
What are the chances of the average player being able to get to a new team, learn the system in time for the season, and become an impact player? And do players like Silas Red have a better chance than most average players?
Well, first of all, he's already had to learn another system anyway, which he had to learn the Penn State system with Bill O'Brien, completely different than the system he had, terminology and things like that. If you get to camp in time, you can learn the terminology and the base plays quick enough. And so he would be able to do that, I would think. I mean, I would think he would be able to do that. I mean, he's a smart – Silas Red's a smart kid. And, you know – and, you know, a lot of people are saying there are a lot of signs indicating that he might go to USC. Orange County Register said that an unnamed player had told the paper if asked by the coaching staff, he would give a scholarship in order to provide room on the USC roster for Red. They're the one school that can't go past a number. Everybody else can go past the number. In other words, there'll be teams this year, like say, for example, say a school wanted two Penn State players and the two Penn State players wanted to go there. They could operate this year with 87 scholarship players. They could operate with 87 scholarship players and what? USC's not in that position. They are locked in at 75, and because of their probation, can operate with no more than 75. That means that somebody would have to give up their scholarship. And in all likelihood, it would be a former walk-on who was then given a scholarship. But they're saying there's no decision on Red till tomorrow at the earliest.
USA Today also had a story posted at their website today about the Southern Cal backup quarterback commenting in the LA Times talking to Silas Red. And is that a violation?
I don't know.
That's what they're asking in this story is Wittick played youth football with Red growing up in Connecticut and is allowed to talk with his old teammate, but he and other players or coaches are barred by the NCAA rules from commenting publicly about a player they're recruiting. And they went on to conclude that they would think that the NCAA would view his comments as a secondary violation and it might not cause any penalties for USC.
The NCAA isn't looking at it. Look, I think the NCAA has made it obvious about how they feel about the direction of what they want to see from Penn State football. We'll leave it at that. So, okay. And it doesn't bother them at all. It has not bothered them that there have been people on the ground harassing players. It hasn't bothered them that players have been followed to their apartments. It doesn't bother them that players have felt like they couldn't leave the Lash building because of the number of people that have been out there from time to time and people harassing them and so forth. It hasn't bothered the NCAA at all. If not, they would have set some rules in place as to making this a process that was actually more workable for the players than it has been. They haven't cared.
Well, I know you can't comment on this, but I'm going to take the opportunity to. Good news for Penn State is they hosted some recruits this weekend, and it was very positive, and each of them confirmed commitment to Penn State, and that included a standout, a quarterback, and a tight end that are some of the nation's top prospects at their position. So, I know how you feel about the rating system, but that shows that they obviously like what Coach O'Brien is doing right now. And even though they may not be able to get to a bowl game or win a Big Ten championship, they feel there's more to offer at Penn State than just, you know, not being able to go to a bowl game.
Well, look, I think the what we've seen from Bill O'Brien so far, and this should make, and the staff, I mean, Bill along with Charles London, Ron Vanderlinden, Larry Johnson, Stan Hickson, Mac McWhorter, John Strollo, Ted Roof, John Butler, Fitz. What we've seen from them so far is an incredible ability. Because, let's face it, even up until the release of the free report, you know darn well people were negatively recruiting Penn State anyway. And they were still getting high-profile players to say yes. So I'm not surprised that they were able to keep high profile players and have them look at them and say, you know, we're still going to stay here. Because there's something in their message, what it means to get a Penn State education, what it means to be a part of the Penn State football program, what it means to play in front of 108,000 fans, and what it means to have a Penn State experience. They've been able to successfully sell this despite the fact that you have people all around saying that you shouldn't be going to Penn State. So I'm not surprised that these players stayed. I'm not surprised because obviously they're recruiting people of great character, and I think it takes people of great character. That's why I'm confident the fans are still going to be there as we go through this thing. And the reason I think it'll be like this as we go through, because Penn State fans have great character. And as I pointed out many times, while people have tried to massively insult the Penn State football culture, and while people have tried to insult the Penn State culture as a whole, they know nothing about the Penn State culture. They know nothing about the background of Penn State people. And they know nothing about Penn State people. And they know nothing about the fact that Penn State fans take great pride in the 87% graduation rate for football. That Penn State fans take great pride in the success that several Penn State football players, as an example, have had on Wall Street. Or Mike Reed in the music industry. Jack Hammond, what he's done in the coal industry. And on and on and on. Not just football accomplishments. People talk often about how Franco Harris and Lionel Mitchell are partners in a company together. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Penn State fans are proud of all of that. Achievements away from the football field. And they enjoy their Saturday afternoons. They love being a part of a Saturday because we work hard Monday through Friday during the course of the week. And like anybody else, we deserve to have an entertainment release. And for many people, that entertainment release is Penn State football. So I don't need some circus clown telling us exactly what our culture is when they just sit in the studio the entire time and never get out. You have to physically get out of the studio and physically see something for yourself before you start making statements about what you think the culture is. If you just sit in the studio in the air conditioning the entire time, mentally you slide to the side because you just have no perspective.
And tight end Adam Brenneman is one of the recruits. He's one of the recruits that was there this weekend and was quoted in the Harrisburg Patriot News saying, who cares if we don't play in a bowl game? We didn't commit to Penn State to just play in a bowl game. Everything we committed at Penn State is still here, and we realize that today.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're seeing from him and others. I won't name the others. I think everybody knows that there's a quarterback and a tight end and others involved in this statement that was made, and they're all very important to this because in the end they'll be some of the more powerful Penn State recruiters will be these young people once they sign. And I already know that they're some of the more powerful Penn State recruiters who are talking to other recruits saying, join us, we can do something special. That tells you a lot about them. That tells you a lot about them. That speaks volumes, and I'm not... a message during very tough times about what it can mean to be a Penn State football player in this new era. And it's one that young people have jumped on board and want very much and obviously have listened to. Because you know darn well they are having people in their ear left and right saying, don't do it, don't go, don't be a part of this. Look at that place, and they have obviously the media behind them that is backed up their negative recruiting. Yet Bill O'Brien and his staff have been able to deliver a positive message and told them what it means to be a part of Penn State and Penn State football. And, again, I'll go back to the four things last week that I thought were important in order. Number one, was Penn State going to be able to play? The answer was yes. Huge check mark plus. I don't want to hear the nonsense, this is worse than the death penalty. That's just, again, people in a studio who don't get out. You have to breathe the fresh air and be out among the people to then get a feel for what's going on. You can't just get it by sitting there and watching the TV set. You can't, okay? You can't do it. You just can't sit in the studio. You sit in the studio, you rot, all right? You have to be a part of what's going on. We talk about, let's say, a different world, Mark Lawrence, right, on the mark every morning. How often is Mark out at meetings, covering this, covering that, county commissioner meetings? That's why he has such a great feel in the morning for what's going on in the area. That's why On the Mark's a successful program. Mark gets out there, okay? Doesn't just sit in the studio, do the show, wave goodbye, take off, take care, good luck. Hey, Kevin's out at Bucknell. Kevin's out at Shikellamy. I'm out at Penn State. Football, basketball, whatever the event. You have to be out there, okay? Thus, people who sit in studios and pontificate, right, have a very limited knowledge base, almost embarrassingly so. You got to get out there. You just can't sit there and have it come to you. It's not how it works. So, number one, they would play. That was a big check mark. Number two, being on TV. That was the next thing I listened for. And when I figured out that TV was not part of the sanctions, huge. You can now look at each recruit and say, A, they're playing, and B, you're going to be on TV. And the entire NFL scouts. And not only that, the way the scholarship limit works, you can look at this upcoming class that's coming in, and if you wish, you can actually redshirt them in mass. And if you do, they'll have 2 years of bowls and 2 years of Big Ten championships they'll be eligible to play for at the end of their career. Two. Not one, but two. And then you may want to have the next recruiting class, maybe, come in and play right away for you. Well, they'd still be in the same boat, but that still gives you 30 kids to work with. Found out it was 10 per year. But let's do some math. Scholarships you can have, but 25 times 5, if you go 5, 125. You're allowed 85 scholarships. Well, in 5 years, that's 17 per year. If you go 5 years at 65 scholarships, it'll be just 4 this time. It'll be 4 years at 65. But if you go 5 years at 65, it's 13. It's 4 a year. That's not 10 per year. That's 4 per year. Now, does it create a margin of error that it's thinner? Yes. Does it play games with your depth? Yes. Can you make it work? Absolutely. We'll come back with more on News Radio.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back. Kevin, excited for the Olympics tonight. Big events coming up this evening. I believe there's a badminton match between China and South Korea that'll be on during the Mary Carrillo late night hours.
I'll be recording that for sure.
No, great.
Actually, the nice thing about Mary Carrillo's late night is you get a lot of the interviews with some of the medal winners, so you get a chance to really learn a lot about the athletes in that segment.
Yeah, that's nice. No, that's good. It's also most people are asleep. But on the West Coast, they're not. So, but Missy Franklin won gold today. Mac Reavers won gold today. Ryan Lochte finished fourth in his event today. The United States men's gymnastics team finished fifth today. China won the gold in the team event. And Jordan Weavers is on the outside looking in, while some girl who finished 30th from pick a country is in.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the Olympics. You don't often quote the movie Zoolander. Okay,
but can't say I ever have.
I'll quote Will Ferrell from the movie Zoolander when it comes to the Jordan Weaver situation. Are we taking crazy pills?
Listen, you've
who comes
watched
up with this stuff.
You've watched a lot of gymnastics. You've called a lot of gymnastics. Give me your opinion. Do you think she was scored low because of her status as being the world champion?
Finisher in this thing.
And unfortunately, we're kind of losing our connection a little bit to the Sunbury Motors studio, and hopefully we'll be able to get that back before the end of the program here. And go ahead,
she's
Steve. Tell
fourth.
Me, give me that thought again. Yeah. My question was: do you think she was underscored?
I think that's irrelevant if she's underscored. She finished fourth. All right, out of how many? 100. She finished fourth. She should be in. I mean, what a stupid rule. That doesn't help the sport of gymnastics. It hurts the sport of gymnastics. You should want to see the best on the biggest stage. It doesn't do any good to have somebody who's from 30th place from the Netherlands that can't do the level of gymnastics they can. If you want to really make the sport exciting and make it sellable to people around the world, you show them what the best look like when they're at. The speed, the tricks, the so forth, that she can do along with the other American girls. I mean, underscored, look, it's a judging sport. They do silly stuff. But it's the lunacy of a rule that makes absolutely no sense. You know, the only time you should have rules on participation is when you have qualifying going on for your country and you know only the top three are going to go to the Olympics. Once you get to the Olympics, it should be the best against the best, and that's how it should be done. Not this kind of lunacy. And that's what they have done hurts the Olympic ideal and the Olympic movement. And it also is a reason why there are more empty seats at this Olympiad than any other, because they have too many feel-good rules and not enough to tell you who's the best in the world. That's what I think.